zodiac figure Rahu. Kaila attempted. Chandrera of the moon. Grahana eclipse. Krishna Krishna, the holy name of Krishna. Hari, the holy name of Hari. Name, the names. Vase, inundated. Tribhuvana, the three worlds. Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari, inundated the three worlds. Yes, as I said, I was intending, I am intending, reading two verses, the verse before this also, which ties in. So let me just read text 91. Akalanka Gora Chandra Dila Darashana Sakalanka Chandra Ara Kon Prayojana. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? And then this verse 92. Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari, inundated the three worlds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Jyotira Veda, a lunar eclipse takes place when the Rahu planet comes in front of the full moon. It is customary in India that all the followers of the Vedic scriptures bathe in the Ganges or the sea as soon as there's a lunar or solar eclipse. All strict followers of the Vedic religion stand up in the water throughout the whole period of the eclipse and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At the time of the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a lunar eclipse took place, and naturally all the people standing in the water were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll just read the verses again. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari, inundated the three worlds. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkalpa Charibhyas Chakripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Pajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So yes, we're right on the eve of Gopanima, so we're going to focus on Lord Chaitanya. So this is a nice description here from the 13th chapter of the Adi Leela, which is discussing the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. That there was an eclipse. Well, first of all, it was the full moon, and then there was an eclipse. So a certain understanding is being given here. What is described elsewhere is that Lord Chaitanya is Gaurachandra. He is the golden moon. And not just some ordinary gold, like some gold jewelry you may buy in a shop, something like that, but and not even just molten gold, which is when gold is heated and melted, then the natural luster of the gold is enhanced quite dramatically, and it becomes very effulgent. It's quite amazing to see. But not even like that, but some super transcendental golden color, which we have not really had experience of. Something just completely stunning, and more than stunning. So that is Lord Chaitanya as Gaurachandra, the transcendental golden moon. So he appeared on that Purnima evening, and last night we were driving back from Eka Chakra and coming down the main road. We could see on the left was the almost full moon. Not actually full, but very close to full moon. And it looked nice. Looked very nice. Silvery colored. And it has an effulgence on the full moon night. Everything is lit up to some degree. And you can move around and see, to some extent at least, the situation around you, etc. So anyway, on that Purnima night, 528 years ago, tomorrow, the full moon was there at his silvery best, illuminating and looking very nice. But he knew that Gaurachandra, the golden moon of Lord Chaitanya, was going to descend, was just about to descend. And so the description is that our regular silver full moon felt embarrassed. So he hid his face because he didn't want to be there in the sky and Lord Chaitanya would be there. And then he was going to look really insignificant and just nothing particularly wonderful at all. So that silver full moon felt embarrassed and he hid his face. And that is a sort of esoteric understanding of those conditions when the eclipse happened on that Gaurapurnima night 528 years ago. So, Lord Chaitanya is such an extraordinary personality. And what to speak of compared to human beings like ourselves and even exceptional human beings. But even compared to other forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya is very exceptional, very amazing and unique, actually. A unique character, personality, even amongst all the many, many innumerable forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even compared to Krishna, actually. In certain very important ways, he's just completely outstanding. You may know that in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a place, there's a little description of when Lord Krishna returned to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, having completed his pastimes here at that time, speaking Bhagavad Gita and etc., etc. So Lord Krishna returned to Goloka Vrindavan, and Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that there he was, and he was remembering what a wonderful time he had here. It was just most glorious and relishable. And Krishna was remembering how he was here and all of these wonderful, most wonderful devotees were serving him in most wonderful ways. The topmost of all devotees and serving him in just the most amazing ways. So Krishna was remembering this and cherishing the memory. How nice it was when we did this and we did that, and certain different devotees were serving me. I was so happy. I was enjoying so much. So there was Krishna remembering and relishing all of this. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that somehow at some point, as the Lord was deep in this ocean of remembrance, an idea struck him that even though I was enjoying so much when the gopis were serving me and the cowherd boys and all the bridge buses, even though I was enjoying so much, the idea struck Krishna. It seems to me they were enjoying more than me. And Krishna went deep into a meditation on this, how they were enjoying more and much more than he was when they were serving him, than he was being served by them. And he thought of some particular devotee. This devotee was serving me, I was so happy, but that devotee was 10 times happier than me. Shishi Radha Madhava Asta Sakhi Vrinda Kijai. And some other devotee was enjoying 100 times more than me. Can you imagine your favorite prasadam, whatever it is, and just relishing it? But then you find out someone was enjoying 100 times more than you were. It's quite inconceivable, actually. And then some other devotee was enjoying 1,000 times more. Krishna's head was spinning. And one of the gopis was enjoying 10,000 times more. And another one 100,000 times more. It's truly, just truly fantastic. And then he thought of Srimati Radharani. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Krishna, thinking about Radharani and how she was enjoying serving him in so many ways, Krishna understood she was enjoying 10 million times more than him. Now that's a lot, isn't it? That's just really a lot. And Krishna understood that this was actually the situation. And then Krishna thought, right, I've been missing out. I've really been missing out. I've got to experience this myself. I've got to become a devotee myself. And then he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Of course, there's a few different reasons behind the Lord appearing as Lord Chaitanya, with all the different component factors involved, but this is definitely one of them. That Krishna understood that there is more happiness in being a devotee than being the Lord. And you may know that also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that generally all the other forms of the Lord other than Krishna, generally, they're all in the mood of being devotees. Lord Balaram, Jiva Goswami says, if you ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna says, me. But if you ask Balaram, who is God? Balaram says, Krishna. Because Balaram is already and has been for long time, maybe eternally, in the mood of being a devotee. Because he knows this is where the nectar is. So Krishna, he got the idea. Took him some time, but Krishna understood, I must become a devotee. And then I'm going to experience the topmost by far. So then Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, as a devotee, in the mood of a devotee. Of course, not just any devotee, not just like in a general abstract sense, just a devotee. But of a particular devotee, topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. That who is Lord Chaitanya? He is none other than the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So this is Lord Chaitanya. And as a result of that, when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find from time to time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes the point that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are the most amazing. They're in a class of their own, actually. Yes. So this is Lord Chaitanya in the mood of a devotee, and not just any devotee, but specifically Srimati Radharani, experiencing the maximum ecstasy and the maximum of what it means to be a devotee. There are a number of reasons for Krishna appearing as Lord Chaitanya. You know, there are three particular, you could say, very personal reasons, sometimes called internal reasons. But they're personal reasons why he wanted to appear as a devotee, and particularly Radharani. These are also described, of course, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One is, he wanted to experience the position of Radharani. Just what's it like to be Radharani? He also wanted to experience what it is in him which stimulates Radharani to appreciate him and feel for him the way she does. Yes. So that's the second reason. And then he wanted to experience what it feels, how she feels, the ecstasy. First reason is a little similar in a more general sense. the position of Radharani and who she is and how she thinks. But then the third reason is specifically the bliss she feels when she's engaged in his service. So these are three very personal reasons why Krishna wanted to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Although he had other reasons, sometimes called external reasons. The time came to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma. So Lord Krishna was going to appear as Lord Chaitanya to carry out that function, establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement, Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer. So the time had come for that. In other words, to help people become devotees, preach and give people the gift of Krishna consciousness. But then you see, if you read the third chapter of the Adi Leela, it's discussed in some detail there that Krishna was feeling not just to give people devotional service again in the general sense of just you become a devotee and you serve Krishna in some way or another, but particularly Krishna felt, I want to give everyone the opportunity to get the topmost level of devotional service. I want everyone to get the opportunity to come to the position of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, to actually develop Vraja Bhakti and enter Vrindavan. Otherwise, generally, the other forms of the Lord, other than Krishna himself, generally, they cannot offer that. They can offer some form of Vaikuntha Bhakti, which of course is a lot better than whatever you might experience in material life. Even the heavenly planets, what to speak of, you know, in America or somewhere like that. But still, compared to that Vraja Bhakti, the experience of Vaikuntha Bhakti, it's really, well, it just cannot compare, actually. You see, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, at the end, towards the end, Gopakumar has gone back to Goloka Vrindavan and realized his eternal relationship with Krishna and entered into it. But somehow or other, his position is such that he goes up and down from Goloka down to planet Earth and up again and down again. This seems to be his program sometimes. So he says there that when I'm going up and down, I pass by all the different planets here and there, material world and spiritual world. And Gopakumar says, I pass by the Vaikuntha planets. And he says, when I see the devotees there, they seem to me to be very miserable. He doesn't say how he sees, you know, the regular people in material life to be. But even the Vaikuntha Vasis, you know, they're not doing so well compared to the inhabitants of Goloka, where it's just another dimension altogether, even compared to Vaikuntha. So Lord Krishna was feeling like that. I want to give even the people of Kali Yuga, who are degraded and unfortunate in so many ways, but I want to even give them the opportunity to achieve Vraja Bhakti and actually go back to Goloka Vrindavan and enter into eternal relationships with myself there, Krishna's thinking. So this is another aspect, another reason for Lord Krishna appearing as Lord Chaitanya and conducting himself as he did. So Lord Chaitanya, well, he is Krishna. He is Krishna, of course. And he is also Radharani. Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. She is personally present there with him. Two in one. But particularly, he is Krishna experiencing the position of Radharani. And Radharani, of course, Radharani is very interesting personality, extremely interesting personality in so many ways. We see Lord Chaitanya, he's Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. He is particularly known for his mood of audarya, of great, great compassion and great mercy, and expressing that in his activities. So, in this way, he is distinct even from Krishna. Not that Krishna is not merciful. Krishna is merciful. And he expresses himself in these terms in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma and Parichaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja. Just surrender to me and I'll deliver you. That's all. Just surrender to me. But we see Lord Chaitanya, his mood is not like that. Not that you must just surrender to me. You know, as we probably know by now, if you've been a devotee for some time, just surrendering to Krishna is not just so easy. But Lord Chaitanya, his mood is Patita Pavana. He's just drowning people in love of God. We know the Panchatattva. Well, when Lord Krishna came, he brought the storehouse of love of God, but he kept it locked. And when the Panchatattva came, Lord Chaitanya and his Panchatattva associates, they broke open the lock and they opened the door, and out came a great flood of love of God, and everyone drowned. At least all the nice people, those who were already devotees or at least pious, you know, sort of like potential devotee types, they all just drowned on the spot immediately in love of God. But then others didn't or couldn't. The staunch materialists, the mental speculators, Mayavadis, and even the lowest of the student community. They couldn't drown. They were floating, their heads above that flood of love of God. And they were crying out for help. And the Panchatattva was swimming around, and they would see these people calling out, "Please help me, save me." And the Panchatattva would say, "Don't worry, here we come. We'll help you, we'll save you." And that person would think, "Oh, good, I'm going to be saved." So the Panchatattva would swim over, push him under the flood of love of God, and he would drown too. And that was their saving, their mercy. So in this movement, following in the footsteps of the Panchatattva, we are giving drowning lessons. How to drown in love of God. So this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, Patita Pavana, Hetu, Tava Avatar. Narottam Das Thakur says, this is why you have come. This is why you have descended. So Lord Chaitanya has that particular mood of mercy distinct from Krishna himself even, and what to speak of other forms of the Lord. And we should consider Radharani, we mentioned a few minutes ago. She's a very interesting personality, a very extraordinary personality. And among many other things, she is extremely merciful. Srila Prabhupada on one Radhastami, in one class, you can read it in the folio, Prabhupada's glorifying Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada says, Radharani is such a person that if she sees someone do just a little devotional service, just a little bit, Radharani feels so pleased. Look at this nice person. This person is serving my beloved Lord Krishna. She's so appreciative of other devotees, even if it's not really a devotee so much. Just some person who happens to do some service. And Prabhupada says, so Radharani goes to Krishna and she tells Krishna, Krishna, down there in somewhere, in the material world, there is one very nice devotee named dot dot dot, fill in the space, some devotee named Rajendranandan Prabhu. And Radharani tells Krishna, he's such a nice devotee, I want you to accept him. And because, you know, whatever Radharani says, Krishna immediately, completely accepts. So Krishna says, yes, yes, yes. And he accepts you. And that's it. Your life becomes perfect on the spot. And Prabhupada continues talking there. And he says, even you may be fool and rascal number one, but somehow you do a little service and Radharani notices and she reports you to Krishna, and that's it, back to Godhead. So this is Radharani. And you know, fool and rascal number one, there are many competitors for that position. So this is Radharani. She's so merciful. And we read again in Chaitanya Charitamrita how the gopis are going to meet Krishna, and Radharani, of course, is the topmost in a class of her own. But in her humble mood, as an extremely sincere devotee who simply wants that Krishna's pleased, she looks around at the other gopis, appreciating how nice they are, their different good qualities. And the other gopis, of course, are doing the same thing, and they're all thinking, well, Radharani is the best. She should just go and meet Krishna. But Radharani picks some gopi and says, you. She pushes the gopi forward. You go and meet Krishna, because she feels you are the best. And who am I? I'm no one in particular. So Radharani is a very special transcendental personality. And in that combined form of Radha and Krishna, her personality shows very vividly. That mood of compassion, extreme compassion, extreme mercy, even on people who are sort of like ridiculously fallen, the Jagais and Madais, and so on. So this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. This is the mood of Lord Nityananda. Yesterday we were in Eka Chakra, we were thinking about Lord Nityananda, and we sung Nitai Pada Kamala, how you could only approach Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda. And that the idea is there that Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. It's said that that demon who Lord Ramachandra would kill, Lord Krishna would spare his life. And there is a particular example, actually, I forget who it is, but there was an example. One demon who was killed by Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, when he met him, didn't kill him, spared his life. And then that demon who Lord Krishna would kill, Lord Chaitanya would spare his life. But that demon who even Lord Chaitanya would kill, Lord Nityananda would spare his life, and not just spare his life, but give him Krishna prema. So like this, Lord Nityananda is celebrated. However, you know, really, it's not, as far as I can see at least, it's not quite that simple. For example, that song which we sing regularly, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Kara More. Oh my dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me. Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagata Samsari. Other than you, who can be merciful? Who could be? It's basically a rhetorical question. Other than you, who could be merciful in this world? Well, nobody, of course. Nobody else could even be a little merciful in the real sense of mercy. You know, what to speak of the Mother Teresas of this world, the Ambedkars of this world, the Mahatma Gandhis of this world. They can't actually be merciful. I was reading a little bit a couple of days ago when a devotee sent me some excerpts from Mahatma Gandhi about what he thinks about Bhagavad Gita. And you know, it's interesting to read it. I never realized how completely bewildered Mahatma Gandhi was. It's unreal, actually. It's bizarre. You know, at best it's dangerous. So anyway, you know, there are different people who are meant to be merciful to certain people, but Narottam Das Thakur says, Toma Vina Ke Dayalu. Other than you, who can be merciful in this world of birth and death? And the example is no one. Patita Pavana Hetu. The song goes on. But then he says, then he prays to Lord Nityananda. Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Koro Kanakoro Ami Baro Dukhi. Now you, Lord Nityananda, you also be merciful. And then Daya Koro Sitapati Advaita Gosai. Advaita Acharya, you also be merciful. Then the six Goswamis, Swarup Damodar Goswami, then Srinivas Acharya, all of you be merciful. But he just said in the beginning that Lord Chaitanya, Toma Vina Ke Dayalu, other than you, who could be merciful? So it's not that Narottam Das Thakur has become confused and he thinks, you know, only Lord Chaitanya can be merciful, that's it. But Lord Nityananda can be too, and Advaita Acharya and so on. The fact is that Lord Chaitanya, he is really the ocean of mercy, the actual and original ocean of mercy. And Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and Srila Prabhupada for that matter, they're all getting their mercy from that reservoir, supreme reservoir of mercy, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually. And Nityananda Prabhu, He's in the mood of a devotee, completely in the mood of a devotee. And what is the mood of a devotee? The mood of a devotee is to ascertain what will please my Lord, and then do that. So Lord Nityananda, Prabhupada, and all these other great transcendental personalities, understanding who is Lord Chaitanya, and of course for them, having, you know, quite a nice understanding of what is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, how merciful is Lord Chaitanya, then, well, they accept that mood. This is what will please him, to deliver the fallen souls. Let's do it. So in that mood, Lord Nityananda, you know, if Lord Chaitanya had wanted something else, and if somehow he had not been interested in delivering the fallen souls, but he'd been interested in something else, Lord Nityananda would have done that, isn't it? Because that's the mood of the devotee. But because Lord Chaitanya is that great reservoir, the ultimate reservoir of mercy for the deliverance of the conditioned souls, then naturally, Nityananda, as his topmost devotee, that's his business. That's his program. So like this, Lord Chaitanya is such a wonderful, most wonderful personality. And we ourselves, just as we see with Srila Prabhupada, he understood the same point, not just in a sentimental way, emotional way, but he really manifested it in his life. Prabhupada, at such a late stage in his life, 70 years old, you know, I'm not 70 years old yet, but it's difficult enough, frankly, it's really difficult enough, physically and just dealing with reality, with this body. But Prabhupada was 70, and he didn't have a nice place to go, you know, where there's a whole lot of devotees, and we can get together with them, and they'll give us nice prasadam, a nice place to stay, etc. He just came on his own to a totally foreign, alien culture, literally alien, and just full of these crazy people. But and he didn't just give up and say, well, look, they're all crazy, let's just leave them to their craziness and just go back and chant Hare Krishna in Vrindavan. He persevered despite some real challenges. He persevered because he had that mood of Lord Chaitanya. As a devotee, he understood what will actually please Lord Chaitanya, and he did it. And therefore we're all here, every last one of us. So we also, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya himself, and taking shelter of the dust of their lotus feet, we should also try to spread this movement of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. And if we really do our best, you know, which may not be that good really, because of our conditioning and our body and our psychological conditions and so on, but at least if we do our best, then they will be merciful. Prabhupada said at the end of one class, to go back to Godhead, you have to be 100% pure. And all the devotees were like, me? 100% pure? Don't know about that. And Prabhupada noticed and said, at least 90%. And devotees were still leaves me out. Prabhupada said, at least 80%. Still it was the same. And Prabhupada said, just take hold of my dhoti and I'll take you back. I have the key to the back door. And Prabhupada also said, if you try your best to spread the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, your best, you know, and that's a very individual thing, what anybody's best may be. You know, one person's best may well vary a lot from another person's. But if you actually try your best, Prabhupada said then when the time of death comes, even if you cannot remember the Lord because it's just so extreme, beyond whatever we may have experienced so far in this lifetime. So even if the devotee can't remember the Lord, Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya will force his way into your mind. So like this, if we try our best, then one fine day, one fine morning, we will wake up in Goloka Vrindavan. Sri Gopinath Mahotsava King. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu King. Srila Prabhupada King. Kopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I don't think we have time for questions because there's a message here. Please, Hare Krishna. Please finish the Srimad Bhagavatam class with questions and answers and comments by 8:45 a.m. In the GBC body, we make decisions. Some of them are laws. You have to do them. We're meant to do them. Others are guidelines. You know, it would be a good idea to do that. I think this is more like a guideline. So. But anyway, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna.